The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Trinity is recorded in Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out all her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight." Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me.
The epistle is recorded in Ephesians chapter 2 and will serve as the basis for this morning's sermon. St. Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our risen, living, and ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. From Ephesians 2:14, we hear St. Paul say again, "For Christ is our peace, and he has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, in a June 12, 1987 speech at the Brandenburg Gate near the Berlin Wall, President Ronald Reagan spoke these words, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now, the Berlin Wall was a structure that was erected in 1961, and it split Berlin into two cities. West Berlin was the free democratic side, while East Berlin was the communist oppressive side. You might recall that East-West tensions between the Soviet Union and the United States were not that good at the time. But in the midst of that tension, standing between two bulletproof panes of glass, protecting him from a potential sniper in East Berlin, President Ronald Reagan boldly spoke these words, "We welcome change and openness, for we believe that freedom and security go together, that the advance of human liberty can only strengthen the cause of world peace. There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." We hear again from Paul in Ephesians 2:14, "For Christ is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Now, we can sum up the entire book of Ephesians with this one word, baptism. So St. Paul writes his letter to the Gentile Christians gathered at Ephesus to remind them that they are baptized into Christ. And he reminds them of who they are in that baptism. Ephesians 1:1, "To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus." And then again in Ephesians 1:13 to 14, "In Christ you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Did you notice that Paul calls the Christian believers saints? A word that literally means holy one or set apart. Now, this is not to be confused with a capital letter saint like St. John or St. Matthew, or even a saint that a person of the Roman Catholic Church might pray to. Christians, you and I are saints. We are made to be saints or holy ones in the waters of our baptism. So in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul then quickly details for them just how this saint status came upon them. Paul again says, "In Christ you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit." You see, the gift of faith worked in them by the Holy Spirit made them to be saints. Faith generated outside of the person caused this to happen. It was nothing of their own will or working. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:4, "God chose us in him to be holy and blameless in his sight." So there you have it. You and I have been made to be saints. We have been made to be holy ones in the waters of baptism. And Paul even tells us that in those waters, we were sealed by the Spirit. You see, baptism is God's way of putting his deposit on you and me as his people. God marks all of those who are sealed for him in heaven, and that seal makes us to be his dwelling. So think here of what you do when you go to the bank and make a deposit. You are given confirmation that the money is in your account. And when you go to get that money, you are certain that it will be there for you. That's the same kind of deposit that God has made upon you and me in the seal of our baptism. The seal of our baptism guarantees that when Christ comes again on the last day, he will retrieve what is rightfully his. That's you and me. Dear friends in Christ, we are baptized. We are God's. Yet Paul talks about this dividing wall of hostility in Ephesians chapter 2. And this dividing wall of hostility separated Jew and Gentile. What is that wall? Josephus, an early antiquity writer, says that it is a wall separating the court of the Gentiles from the inner courts and the sanctuary in the Jerusalem temple. In fact, according to archaeological digs, they have uncovered proof of this with writings inscribed on stone. The wall could also be a reference to the law as well. Either way, the reference is very clear. Jew and Gentile absolutely hated one another. They were separated by religion, culture, race, and language. So think here of the Jewish prophet named Jonah. Initially, he absolutely refused to go to the pagan Gentile nation of Nineveh. But what did Christ do? Christ came down to this earth, and he tore down that dividing wall of hostility and made things the way that they were supposed to be once again. His death on the cross for our sins and his bodily resurrection from the grave on the third day is for all nations, all tribes, all languages, and all peoples. That's the way that God intends things to be. That's the way that things are supposed to be. United together through the blood of Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we know how things are supposed to be among us, right? We worship and we fellowship together. We care for one another. Together as God's baptized people, we take his gospel out to a hurting community. As his baptized people, we also live in harmony with one another. But what does sin do? Sin builds up these big dividing walls of hostility in our lives. So how many of you or people that you know have worked years on a job only to have a new boss come on board and bring so many changes, bad changes, moral changes, that you decide you can no longer be employed there anymore? Sin builds up big dividing walls of hostility in our personal lives. Divorce wrecks homes. It is all too common for the husband or wife to say to one another, "I don't love you anymore," and walk out. Drugs and alcohol and pornography destroy families. In these situations and so many more, the devil is working hard to build these walls of hostility in our lives. From the husband and wife who do not get along, to the petty high school jealousy and bickering, to the conversations that occur behind the backs of others, Satan's divide and conquer tactics destroy friendships, families, and congregations. He separates people from people. But even worse, the devil is working so hard to destroy our faith in Christ Jesus. So if we follow Paul's line of thinking this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that the focus of his letter so far has been on the reconciliation between Jew and Gentile. Indeed, when relationships are strained and damaged, there needs to be reconciliation between people. But now, in verse 16, Paul focuses that reconciliation between God and man. He writes, "Christ might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." That verse is the key. You see, it was our sin that caused that relationship to first be destroyed. Sin says that you and I are the objects of wrath, as Paul writes in Ephesians 2:3. So when Paul says that the cross of Christ kills hostile relationships, he literally means it. God's Son was sent down to this earth to be killed in our place on the cross so that we might be reconciled or brought back again to the Father like it should be. Christ's resurrection from the dead on the third day proves that he is the very Son of God. And there is no other way that this could have ever been accomplished. So this leads me to pose this thought for you. People are not reconciled to one another because they are not first reconciled to God. I think those words are plain enough. You see, the cross is all about reconciling human man, humankind, to himself, meaning the sin that separates him from people is removed. Where sin is forgiven, it brings us back to God. It also brings us back to one another. Is it any wonder then that Martin Luther encourages the Christian believer to begin and end each day by making the sign of the cross and saying the words, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is Luther's way of reminding us, pointing us back to we have been baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. It is a good way to remember that our sins stand forgiven in the name of the Holy God. It is a good way for us to remember that we are his children and heirs of life eternal. So what do we do with this baptism now? And what happens in our lives now that Christ has destroyed this dividing wall of hostility? You and I must not only hear the word, but the pastor must preach the word, and you as his baptized must take that word out to others as well. You see, we together must put that word in practice. One way that we do that is by what we're doing right now, and that's worshiping together. In his book, Who's Afraid of Postmodernism, James Smith writes, "The church is the site where God renews and transforms us, a place where the practices of being the body of Christ form us into the image of his Son. What I, a sinner saved by grace, need is not so much answers as reformation of my will and my heart. What I describe as the practice of the church include the traditional sacramental practices of baptism and Eucharist, but also the practices of Christian marriage and child rearing, even the simple but radical practices of friendship and being called to get along with those one doesn't like." So what about you? How is your relationship with the Lord? How is your relationship with your other Christian friends and family? Did you know that Christ has destroyed the dividing wall of hostility? Did you know that Christ has brought to you complete and total forgiveness? Did you know that this blood of Christ shed for you on the cross and his bodily resurrection from the dead for you on third day has brought you back to the Father once again? Baptized into the blood of Christ, I want to encourage you to mend broken relationships if they exist. On November 9th, 1989, East Germany finally opened the Berlin Wall. It was a grand event in the moment of history, so grand that you might remember where you were when it happened. But spiritually speaking, the greatest event ever to occur in the history of the world was when Christ removed the wall of separation, that wall of sin and death that we had brought into this earth by his death on the cross and his bodily resurrection from the tomb. That gift was placed into our lives on the day of our baptism, the day when all the blessings of Christ's death and resurrection were given to you and to me. That gift comes to you again today through his word preached and through his supper eaten and drunk. Because of Christ, we are now at peace with God and we are at peace with one another. His way is the way of forgiveness and ours is too. Amen. And now the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.